Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. We got a great show lined up for you. We're going to get right into the message. We got with us tonight our guest from Andrews, North Carolina, Pastor Jim Van Dyne and Pastor Jack Souders here in Andrews. And they're all live here hooked up with us tonight. We're going to try to get into a very interesting discussion. Tonight we're going to continue with the subject of, and this is going to be actually very important for you to know, that the flood was not worldwide. It did not, we don't believe, destroy all of humanity upon the earth. Now in that sense, we're going to, and in that vein, we're going to try to dig a little gold out of the information highway that comes down through the scriptures, and we're going to go tonight to phase two or part two of the message, and that is we're going to get into and deal with the issues of why the flood was invoked in the first place. What brought it about? What was the issues concerning the mighty ones, the mighty Elohim, in the heavens that brought forth the flood? Let's discuss that tonight. Pastor Jim, welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you here with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Pastor Buddy. It's good to be here with you. And praise God to all those out there listening tonight. And we want to welcome you, Pastor Buddy, to Andrews again. It always seems like it's a long time between visits. And we're always happy that you come.
Praise Yahweh. Well, I appreciate that, Jim. I always feel like I'm coming home rather than coming to a place that that is not my home. And it is my second home, praise Yahweh. We love these mountains here. It's just like coming from the north side of the mountain over to the actually the east side of the mountain, where you live on one side of the mountain, I live on the other, and it makes it quite convenient for us to run back over these mountains. And what beauty the Father has put in here. Now, Jim, could you see the flood, you know, covering the whole mountain range or the whole mountain chains? And of course, you know, we're, what, 5,000 feet here. I've been about 5,800 feet here is the highest mountain in the Smokies, and that's way up there. If somebody would, climb actually on a pole, let's say, a ladder, going straight up for 5,800 feet, he would think, you know, by the time he looked down for the ground, he'd think it'd be pretty high. Of course, you get in these mountains and it don't feel that way. I think right here, probably about 2,200 feet or so here. But we're going up another 3,000 and on the top of the Smokies here, and we get up around 5,800 feet. Now, the highest mountain chain, I understand, here in the west, or in this on this side of the continents up in Alaska, and that's Mount McKinney.
Yes.
Okay, well, then if we go over to the Himalayas, we're shooting on up there 29,000 to 30,000 feet. So if you was to put the Himalayas over here in the Smokies, it would dwarf everything here by five or six times the size of our highest mountain here in the Smokies. So we're looking at the magnitude, the enormous magnitude of a flood that would cover the whole earth. But tonight, we discussed that last night, but tonight we're going to get into the reasoning of why that the mighty ones sat in council, and the Bible does say so in Genesis chapter 6, that they had a council. They actually came down here and looked at the situation in the earth and saw that they had a major problem here. And 95% of the problem was miscegenation, race mixing, with both with those upon the earth crossing bloods, and then the angels that came in here and crossed bloods. So, Jim, what is your comments on that matter?
Oh, I believe you're exactly right, Pastor Buddy, because that's the indication that Genesis chapter 6 talks about. And I believe that the time that the angels came, the fallen ones, and did that was the time spoken of in Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, when it said that the dragon, Satan, cast a third of the stars to the earth. And I believe at that time, that's when they come down, they sing the daughters of men, and they marry them and produce the offspring, which were Nephilim, or giants upon the earth, which, no matter how you look at it, is race mixing. And I believe that was why the flood happened in that area. It obviously couldn't have covered the entire earth. Or, as the waters receded, Noah would have had to take a voyage down to Australia and dump the kangaroos off, and then take another one straight up to the Arctic, there north in the North Arctic, and get rid of the polar bears and the penguins and all that. He certainly didn't drop them off where he was at, and they walked the rest of the way. So, I see we got Pastor Jack here with us, Dr. Souter, and we want to welcome him to the broadcast. Praise Yahweh, brother.
Well, praise Yahweh. It's nice to be back with Pastor Buddy and at a new moon service. So we're going to talk flood tonight. All right. I was just thinking, when you talk about race missing, if history repeats itself, which it must, because this is one of our greatest dilemmas today, with the influx of Mexicans, all of the ethnic groups in the United States, and an actual promotion in our television, in our magazines. I look at the Penny's magazine, the Sears catalog, and the whole thing is interracial type models that are in there, trying to set a standard in our minds that we should all be one race, kind of almond-colored people, I guess, instead of the white Aryan people. That is what that's what I'm getting when I look at all this. And I was looking at a magazine publication that comes out every 2 or 3 months that, and I didn't know this, so I guess others are a little bit more knowledgeable than I am on these things, that they're trying to annex 5 states, California, New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, down in there, into Mexico, and that this is well on its way. It was shocking to me to read that. So I guess you have heard this.
Yes, I have. If I remember correctly, Bush has proposed this proposal to President Fox, or whatever his title was there in Mexico,
right,
to do this. Now, how they're going to get it done, I don't really know how they'll get it by the people, unless this little party they're planning over in Baghdad, in Iraq, might be the beginning of it, because if you can create a problem over there, and then you create a terrorist problem over here,
right,
then you create martial law, and under martial law, then you can bring in these other problems. But my question is, they're doing it because there's so many these Mexicans in those 5 states. Well, what about these other states?
Yeah.
I mean, do we ship them all over there, or are they staying here, and we still have the problem here, or what's the plan?
Well, I'm wondering, if I lived in one of those 5 states, what I would be doing about all this. I'd be conjuring up all the committees and armies that I could to say, no, this isn't going to happen. This is my country. And I've not heard too much, say, upset with the people. Or I would have heard about this before I read it in this newsletter.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's kind of interesting, because the problem is very severe in places like Atlanta, some of the other cities that we get to, you know, here we're kind of back in the stick, so to speak. We don't see it quite as much, but in those areas you see it all the time. Now, I find it interesting that Yahweh said that in the last days it would be as in the days of Noah, and in the days of Noah they were race mixing.
That's right.
And so I would say that the time is very close at hand upon us.
That's right. Another judgment is coming.
That's right. That's right. And I believe it's probably coming real soon. I can't really say exactly when, but I'm not even going to try a guess there on that. But I do believe it's coming very soon.
What you're saying is you don't want to talk about Negro. Go on, Jim.
Yeah. So you have, it's interesting in verse 4 of chapter 6 of Genesis when it talks about there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown.
Yeah.
Well, I would seem to think if you're a man of renown, and a man of old, that it's quite possible that you were a third, one of those third of stars that were cast down by Satan to the earth.
Right.
And I don't know how some of these people even get this so confused that they really look at it, meditate on it, think about it, and try and get it in some sort of an order, you know, analyze it, if you would, to get this figured out. That flood couldn't have covered the entire earth. It would have been absolutely impossible. I mean, where did all the water come from? And then where did it all go?
Yep.
You know, if we're in a bowl, so to speak, I mean, what happened to the water? Did somebody ship it back to Mars or the moon, or where'd it go?
That's right. Only so much water here.
That's right. It goes up, and it comes back down.
Right.
It goes up and comes back down.
Right.
So, and if I remember correctly, I think Buddy talked about this last night, the Egyptian dynasty, there was no stoppage of their history. It just went from one dynasty to the next,
right,
the next, the next. I believe that the Chinese were the only ones that I can think of that had any kind of history concerning the flood, and it was more along the lines of some of the rivers overflowed and created a little hardship for,
right,
some of the people, but as for the Orientals in general, they hardly knew anything happened.
Yeah, that's true.
So if their history is continuous, the Egyptians' history is continuous, how could it be continuous?
Yes,
and in the book of Ezekiel, why would Yahweh tell Ezekiel go talk to the Pharaoh of Egypt and tell him, do you remember when this happened to the Assyrians? Well, how can he remember if there had been a flood that destroyed everything?
Right.
And what's your opinion on that, Pastor John?
Well, that's true. I claim to have great understanding scripturally of this, but one of the things that we look at in Joshua, where he says, on the other side of the flood, your fathers dwell on the other side of the flood in the old time. Well, what does this mean? There's two, chapter 24, verse 2, and then verse 14, it says, your fathers served on the other side of the flood. So there must have been some other place. That'd be my understanding there. We got another area that wasn't flooded.
That's right.
Just saying that.
That's right. So, I believe that's where Abraham came from, the other side of the flood also. So if you come from the other side of the flood,
you weren't in the flood.
You obviously weren't in that flood.
That's right.
And for our people today to look around and agree and to accept this race mixing, it's devastating to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who promote this all come from that same seed line, every one of them. And what really kind of affects me, especially recently for some reason, having read an article by David Horowitz, who was trying to promote Israel and the hardships that they're going through and have gone through, and how they're getting a bad rap and so on and so forth. You know, they sit there crying that they want peace and love and no war. And at the same time that they're doing this, they're literally sucking the lifeblood out of little white Caucasian children.
Exactly.
And we sit back and say, well, that can't be.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why can't it be? Take a look at the history.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there.
Right.
And it really does bother me that this is going on. I know it's a little bit off the subject line, but I just had to bring that up.
Yeah.
That, since that was such a recent article that he wrote.
Right.
Pastor Buddy, what's your opinion on the article, for instance, and some of this giant business that went on in the earth during the time of Noah?
Well, you know, Jim, it's real interesting to go back to the beginning of Adam and his generation, and then to think that there were other races upon the earth. We have to acknowledge that. I think my reasoning is this. It would be impossible within the time frame of Adam, when he appeared in history, according to the Bible, less than 5,700 years, that the advent of Adam upon the earth. Well, we've got history that goes back, and man, and I talked about that a little bit this last night, the fossilized prints, footprints, as you say, a dynasty of unbroken history that even to Egypt goes back 2250 B.C. So we could at least go back 3,000 years before the advent of Christ, and pick up a trail of unbroken, as you said. And then I spoke about this last night also, the enormous problem of Noah reaching out into all of the earth and gathering up the animals that were native to the regions. Say, for instance, polar bears, or you go down in South America and then you get the monkeys and things of this nature that weren't indigenous to that area at the time. So he, unless the father, as I said last night, took a east wind and blowed them in from everywhere, then Noah had no ability that we know of to reach out all over the earth. He would have had to cross oceans and to get the species and things that were in other parts of the earth that will not, as a matter of fact, will not breed or grow or multiply, because if you take them out of their environment, then you'll kill them. We've known that through exchanges of certain species upon the earth. They will not prosper under the weather patterns. They're not designed for them. They were designed specifically, for instance, a polar bear is designed for cold weather. And you take him out of that environment and put him in hot weather, and you better have some ice cubes for him because he'll die.
That's right.
And, of course, if you see all your zoos, you'll see them with large chunks of ice in the water to keep it and they're natural. And see, this has never been bred out of them. So, in that sense, I think that there's an enormous problem that's unfolding for the theorists that the flood was worldwide. And if it was, then we've got a lot of unanswered questions. Even these creation theorists that are trying to advocate a worldwide flood cannot come up with the solution or the answers to the questions that the dilemmas that puts them in. They just ice it over, glaze it over, and then they begin to go into their denial mode, which is typical of all Babylon anyway.
That's right.
So in that sense, I see a major problem with that, Brother Jim. And now, getting back to Genesis 6 where you were there, because of the mighty ones that came down, in Genesis chapter 6, now, if we believe the Bible, this has only been about 4,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If they come to this earth, I'm talking about the mighty ones, Yahweh and his angels, and they begin to deal with these rebels, these other angels, who we believe were race mixing, mixing their seeds, angelic seed, with the seed of the earth, which was The Bible says that angels neither marry nor give in marriage.
Right.
Then we go back there and say, well, see, that wasn't angels back there, Pastor Buddy, because they don't marry or give in marriage. Don't mean that they can't get women pregnant, and that they do have the ability to impregnate women. It's just that Yahweh's laws forbid them to do so. And the cardinal sin here in Genesis 6 was when these sons of Yahweh came down, broke the covenant, and miscegenated with the beings on earth. And there we began a major war between the sons of light and the sons of darkness. And the human chain as well began to battle. So Yahweh, it looks like Yahweh and his mighty ones came in and rescued Noah, which was the last genetic link back to Adam, or the sons of Adam. And ladies and gentlemen, therein lays the dilemma that we're talking about now. Well, this is Pastor Buddy live with me tonight, joining me from Andrews, North Carolina, Pastor Jim and Pastor Jack. We'll be back right after the break with another story about the flood that maybe you haven't heard. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're live from Andrews, North Carolina. We greet all of our Israelite brothers of the common faith around the nation, and for that matter, tonight around the world, through the mighty voice of Truth Radio. And we are delighted to be in here tonight. We're on the subject, very controversial. You may not agree that the flood was localized to a specific area for a specific race of people. But we understand the Bible in Genesis chapter 6 where we're at tonight. We're going to deal with the reason why that the flood came upon earth. Can you imagine a loving, kind father that we display now in the New Testament, and how long-suffering he is and was? Well, that's what the Bible said in the days of Jonah. The long-suffering of God. Well, how long did he suffer these interracial connections to proceed into the future before he called a halt? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will assure you by looking at the chronological order of time, from Adam to Noah, he didn't wait too long. If you count time as he did, well, there could be something wrong with that, because you know the Bible says again that one day is 1,000 years to Yahweh and 1,000 years is one day. So we could have this time frame warped with the chronological time scheme that only 5,000 years or so has elapsed since the invention or the introduction of Adam and his sons. Well, let me give you a scripture here, and then I'll get Jack and Jim back in here to comment on this. In Genesis chapter 24, brethren, it says here, and I quote, "We have transgressed." Well, let me read 24 first. That's 13, Nehemiah. "Thou shalt not take a wife of a Canaanite." Now, Pastor Jim, why was the Canaanite connection here? Why was it restricted? Why wouldn't Abraham want Isaac to have a Canaanite wife? Would you like to comment on that?
Why, sure. The Canaanites were the results of Satan and Eve, Satan getting his seed in the earth through Eve. And she bore a son, and his name was Cain. And when he was thrown out of the garden, he went to the east. And, of course, as we well know, in the east, you have Orientals. And Cain went down there and got himself a wife. So you had a blood mixture, a race mixing, not only between Satan and Eve, but between Cain and then the Orientals. So in order to keep a pure, true bloodline, where the DNA all lines up perfectly, you cannot have any of that happen. And so if our Messiah, who came down through that bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and right on through, it says that he was pure in his generation. Well, in order to stay pure in your generation, your DNA has to line up perfectly all the way through. So I could understand perfectly well why Isaac would not want his son, or Abraham, but would not want his son Isaac to go and marry into the Canaanite race. If I can remember right, when Isaac's son did that, he was more than upset. Pastor Jack, he was very displeased over that.
Yeah. yes. We see the, let's say, the format that should be set for us in Israel from Abraham, as we're talking here, Isaac, on down to the present time. And it is true, being Abraham was called out of, I think, the city of Haran to go to the area where he was to have seed for his generation. I believe that was around Shechem and Bethel and that area. So when it came time for Isaac to have a wife, he sent his manservant back to his family area to get a wife for Isaac. And I think we need to follow some of that for today. As I look around, and this afternoon we were over in Asheville, and my wife was running in and out of stores, and I got a little tired, so I sat in the car. And it's a good time to watch people. And I saw, in just moments, I mean, we weren't there very long at one place, mixed marriages, couples going in, black and white. I seen twice, and like I would assume a grandfather, because he's a little child, is at least a third generation black, and this is a white man holding hands, taking his child. So we're either babysitting, or we got a daughter or a son who married a black. Now that's what it tells me. And I see this all the time, and it's we need to get back to understanding the biblical history of our ancestors, where it was strictly forbidden to do this. Now, we know we had naughty Israelites back then, too. No question about it. But as we look at the old prophets and patriarchs at that time, they still taught their children and sent their children over to be schooled from their the elders in all these things, and including that they should not, just like Moses said, not to take wives of other than the wife of Dominic Reed.
That's right. And you brought up Abraham being called out of the area of Chaldea at the time. I find that interesting that Yahweh only called him out, which leads me to believe that the rest of those living there at the time had been race mixing and was starting to, and in order to keep, I imagine Abraham was struggling. He probably had the same problem some of them people did in Asheville with their offspring.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, believe that.
They just, yeah, I imagine he struggled over it. Maybe some... his neighbor, maybe his wife's brother's daughter's son or whatever, you know, had found that. I can imagine the struggle that went on. That's probably the same type of struggle that went on in the time of Ezra when they was rebuilding the temple and found the law and read it and discovered that not only had they race mixed, but that mixture went back into grandparents and so on and so forth. And they... brought that before the elders and on that day, and well, they basically took care of that problem. And those that didn't, those that refuse to get rid of their wiser husbands who were of a different race were cut off from the house of Israel forever.
That's right.
So I don't know how much has to be taught concerning this race mixing. How many examples have got to be shown throughout Scripture from the beginning to the end that is really the first and the original sin. It is also the sin of the spirit, and it's also the unforgivable sin of blasphemy, because now you're refusing to say that there is a spirit that dwells within the white Adamic race. And by refusing to acknowledge it, I believe that you will be cut off from the house of Israel. Pastor Buddy, you want to give your comments on that?
Well, you're switching there. It's not that this hasn't been true all this time. You know, this generation of Israel back then clear to now, I think it's accelerated to the point that I know Emmerheiser in his writings and stuff, he says that Yahweh's got to come soon, because if he doesn't, there ain't going to be anybody left to come for. So the acceleration of this mixing is just phenomenal at this point in time. But it was there. We read about it in the Scriptures. But they taught, these prophets and elders taught the truth, and that was you. Time marries time. I've got a little grandson, and when he was about 4 or 5 years old, he said, boys aren't supposed to marry boys. And we said, they aren't. And he says, no, they're supposed to marry girls. So you know, hope he keeps that in mind. Pastor, buddy.
That's all right. Everything's going. He may change his mind. But we hope not. Praise Yahweh. Well, you know, this is a serious time that we live in, as you brethren have alluded to. Now, the Bible says, talking about the signs of the times, and we need to read the signs. The tea leaves need reading. Right now, somebody needs to take a good, hard, long look at the situation, and the only people that need to look, because other races, Jim, Dr. Jack, you know this, and you just alluded to it in Asheville, North Carolina, which is probably, really, if you're in the mountains, a southern conservative town, so to speak, mm-hmm. and yet those things are going on here in the southern area of the South, and in the mountain towns of North Carolina. But take on a whole, an average, if you go the further west you go, the worse it gets. If you alluded to a while ago, I think Jim was talking about the division of the West now being taken over by this what we call the Mexican-American connection.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say, well, they deserve to have it back. We took California from them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Our white fathers that came in here and pioneered and settled this land were able, should do so, with the strength of their beliefs. Today, we have lost our strength because we have no belief system. We have believed in a lie. We have sowed to the wind, and now we're going to reap the whirlwind. And the results of race mixing, there is no nation in history. Let me show you something here. And the United States is leading the pack here in race mixing. But there's no nation upon the earth in history that's ever survived with race mixing. It destroys the continuity of the genetics. And then it brings in a different, a mingled understanding, a confusion. And our children today that are part of this race mix and mingling, the miscegenation process, they're confused, they're rebellious, they're evil, they're corrupt, and evil is always on their minds. And so that's what we're sowing here. Well, any nation that gets to that point will have to be dealt with by the mighty one. Well, what they say, as it was in the days of Noah, mm-hmm. in Genesis 6, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were doing this thing in Genesis 6
just like they're doing in the year 2002, and on an unprecedented scale of race mixing and miscegenation. Now, let me show you the panic button that we need to push. If we go back and look at the reality, I've said all along that if Adam was a white man, an Aryan, he could show blood in the face. A black man can't show blood in the face. A Chinese mm-hmm. cannot show blood in the face. They have no conscience to blush. The only man that I know that has that ability is the Adamic race of the Caucasians, called Caucasians. They have that ability. And if you look in the face of your blushing white Western European people and now into the North American continent of Canada and the United States of America, we are the last stronghold of the link back to our ancestors. Once that is miscegenated, and Dr. Jack again alluded to that, and on a scale unprecedented, we are in a battle for survival. Jim, my question to you and Dr. Jack is this. Are we going to have a divine intervention to save the genetics of a one particular race? And we'll examine what race that is. That race, as we very well know, if you look at the statistics in the world, the white race is the fastest diminishing race upon the planet. You agree?
I agree. And not only that, Charlie told him he didn't pick them because they outnumbered the rest of the race on Earth, but because they were so, and even though we've been so few, every blessing that you can imagine has come through that white Adamic race. Your inventions, your dwellings, everything. There isn't a thing. Yet the social standards, the laws, the schools, everything has come through that, through the white race. And for those of the other races who want to whine and complain that they have been downtrodden, so on and so forth, they weren't even downtrodden before we came along and helped them out. They didn't even know what the word meant.
Right.
Dr. Jack, I know you got some comments on that.
Well, I have to chuckle here a little bit because I'm going to say I have heard that an answer to this, as Buddy said, is divine intervention, and I might mention something about that in a minute here. But I've also heard that a revival of the Phineas priesthood might not be too bad either. I'm glad I heard that. I'm not, you know, or vigilante, I don't know. But anyway, divine intervention. I believe that without that, we're headed for annihilation. I really, truly believe that. The remnant is going to be so small that you can fit them in the average household. It's headed that direction. And unfortunately, I've seen this in my own, not immediate family, but peripheral family, this racial thing. And it's disheartening. If 20 years ago somebody told me this would happen, I would say no, that happens in California, maybe Chicago, New York City, but not in this little town. But yes, it does. It's all over. You're right here in Andrews. We can go down through Andrews and see black and white, Mexicans and whites, right in this town. So divine intervention is going to be it. And I believe that Jacob Israel, if we're willing to wake up, if we're willing to follow the statutes and judgments of Yahweh, if we're willing to call him Yahweh, let's start with addressing our Father with the correct name. Let's not call him Baal or Lord, which means the same. Jeremiah 23:25 will tell you that. Look it up in Strong. If we're willing to learn, start keeping a correct Sabbath, find out about altars. If you want some power for Jacob Israel, you need to be well-versed in the new moon Sabbath And it's all throughout the scriptures, Ezekiel 46, Psalms 83, Isaiah 66, Jeremiah 35, I believe, all talk to you about a new moon Sabbath. And we need to know about a new moon Sabbath. Jacob Israel needs to wake up, and Yahweh will hear our voice and hear our land if we do. But Pastor Buddy, there's not going to be a divine intervention if Jacob Israel doesn't wake up.
Interesting, Pastor Jack, you brought up that if we don't change from the path that we're headed for right now, of total annihilation, if we don't change our ways, that's going to happen. And I find it interesting that in the book of Ezra asked Yahweh, what is remnant? And Yahweh told him, well, it is in a standing wave of water, it's one drop. And in a standing field of corn, it's one kernel. So there isn't going to be a whole lot of them left before things. You know, I believe Enoch spoke of the fact that it looked like the remnant was almost going to be annihilated. Mm-hmm. And so it's a scary thing. It's a scary feeling. If you're one of the remnant, you may know everybody by the first name real quick, because there's not going to be that many to have to remember.
I'll agree with that, brethren. We are down. We're counting heads now, and it's not as hard as it used to be. If we are now, I'm talking about the race that is called Caucasian. You know, it's almost an insult to the rest of the world now to bring up the subject. You know, I mean, other groups are permitted to talk about their minorities. And here in America, we're still the majority in the white race. But see, that's not the standard throughout the earth. We are overwhelmed with what we call the Indian population, 1 billion. And then you move from that continent over to China, 1 billion plus growing. And then you go into these other, like in Africa, where a large Ethiopia and all these other countries, where they have a large black congregation. So then if you add those together, and then you add the Arab race, which is what we call a mixed species, because of the, you alluded to it, that Isaac was very, very wrought, he and Rebecca, that Esau. Now we haven't touched too much, and we've sort of let the Canaanites get away out from under Thunder. We know the blacks is not the problem.
No, they're not.
And we know the Orientals are not the problem.
No.
So put your finger on the problem there, Jim, and you and Doc kick that back and forth.
Okay. Well, the problem, of course, it's easy to blame the Canaanites as the problem. When in actuality, the problem is the Israelites. They have gotten so far away from the Father that, for instance, they don't even know who they are to begin with. Most of them don't have a clue who they are, where they came from, where they're going. And so they have forgotten everything, every law, every statute, every judgment that Yahweh gave them. But as far as who causes the problems in the earth, it is the Canaanite race.
Exactly.
There is no question about that. As Yahweh told Satan that he would eat the dust of the ground, and as Yahweh says in Genesis 2:7, he formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and I'm telling you, those Canaanites are eating us day and night. And we're sitting around letting them do it, feeling sorry for them, not only promoting it, we're financing them, for crying out loud.
That's right. That's right.
Actually, this is a bad subject for me.
Yeah. Well, they control government. They control the wealth of the nation. They control the media. They control the publishing houses. All you Christians out there, when you go buy your Bibles, especially your American Standard NIVs that have been altered again from the King James and much left out, your Canaanite Jewish friends are the ones that published that for you, whether you know it or not. And Jim, I think you're right. Our problem is not with Judeo-Christianity. We've all come out of that, and we know that there is obviously a total misleading there, as we have discovered. But that isn't our main problem is trying to get Jacob Israel to agree on one thing, the same thing. And our brothers and sisters are really our problems. And this is very disturbing to me because the remnant is small. The remnant needs to join forces, and not we can't be out there bickering who's the best pastor on the radio here and who's the best preacher and who's telling the truth. And we need to get together and learn what truth is. Pastor Buddy, you agree with me on that?
I agree 100%, Dr. Jack. Dr. Jim, it's been a pleasure to have Dr. Jack and Pastor Jim in here with us tonight, sitting in here live as we are. As Dr. Jack has mentioned, we are now in what we call a new moon Sabbath. The new moon is tonight, and we begin a Sabbath of holy worship and dedication to the Father on the altar here in Andrews, North Carolina. We invite anyone that would like to come and keep the festivals of the new moons with us. You're welcome to come. And we love you very much. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. We're out of here with a time done gone. If you'd like to call me tonight, here, code 423-626-2172. And write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, address 37824. Call Dr. Jack here, 1-888-281-7320. Or Dr. Gary from Merkle 2, 877-289-7439. We'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.